in Advent. It's interesting that Jesus said that he was the light of the world. Then in Sermon on the Mount, he calls us the light of the world. The reason we're the light of the world is because he lives in us, and we're the light of the world because he is the light of the world. You know, this morning, I've had several people to tell me that we need to welcome our extended journey family who watch us on Ustream and listen to podcasts. And there are people all over the United States that listen to the sermons on podcasts and watch the Ustream. There's even people in the Philippines and all over. And technology is amazing that we can sit here in Lake Wylie and proclaim the gospel in a lot of different places, and we're blessed to be able to do that. So we welcome all our Journey family, and you in particular, this morning, as we look into our sermon today. James pointed out to me that it says Pastor Kenny Ashley wanted dead and alive today, so I'm glad there's an and in there. You know, instead of or, we'd be in bad shape. But I didn't think about that when I came up with the title. But anyway, there's a myth that, and this may go contrary to the way you've been brought up and what you think. I was brought up that I wanted to give my life for Jesus. I wanted to live for Jesus. And that was a wrong assumption all my life. And it's interesting that, you know, I wanted to give my life to Jesus, but I didn't have one to give. The Bible says we were dead in our trespasses and sins. How can I give my life when I'm really dead in my trespasses and sins? You know, the truth is that God didn't create us in order to live for Him. He created us in order that He could live for us. It's interesting in the garden that Adam and Eve were in Christ, but Christ was not in them yet. Now, do you know why Christ wasn't in them yet? Because he put two trees in the garden. One was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the other one was called the tree of what? Life. The tree of life, in essence, is Jesus. Had they eaten the tree of life, they would have received Jesus as their life. They would have eaten like the bread represents the body of Christ, his life. Had they eaten the tree of life, God would have been in them. But did they ever eat the tree of life? No, they chose poorly. They ate the wrong tree. And therefore, they got separated from God. If God is life and you get separated from life, you call that what? Dead. Everybody since Adam and Eve were born dead, born separated from God. It's not good people, bad people. There's not good Christians, bad Christians. There's only two kind of people in the world. There are dead people and there are live people. There are dead people who've been separated from God by sin, and there's live people who have invited Jesus to be their life, and they have life because Jesus is life. Eternal life is not something, and I grew up in church, I grew up in religion, a lot of y'all did too. You don't have eternal life because you made a commitment to God like you joined a Rotary Club, and you pay your dues and you try to be a good Rotarian. You don't say, yes, I want Jesus to save me, and I'm going to try to imitate Jesus and be a good Christian, which is what religion says you ought to do. You don't do that. You don't earn eternal life. Eternal life is Jesus. Will Jesus live forever? Well, if he's my life, what will that mean for me? Then I'll live forever. It's not anything that I do for that. You see, Acts 17:28 says, for in him, Jesus, we live and we move and we have our being. I mean, we don't have anything except for Christ. If you're here and you haven't opened your heart and let Jesus become your life, you're walking around by the grace of God. I mean, we're dead people walking without Christ. And you need to understand, you've heard this a zillion times if you've been here at all. Grace is what God does what? For us. It's not what we do for God. It's what God does for us that we cannot do for ourselves. Let me ask you one thing that you can do for yourself. Is there anything, even the faith we have to believe God gave to us, the air that we breathe God gives to us. Have you ever noticed that our heart beats all the time without a battery or without a plug-in? Think about that. There is no such thing as perpetual motion, but our heart beats all the time until God gets ready to stop it. And it just beats. We breathe, our blood flows through our bodies, and all that stuff, all just automatically that God is doing for us. Ephesians 2:18 says, we're going to look at this for a minute. It's a very common verse that a lot of people know. For it is by grace that you have been saved. Saved from what? Saved from our sins. Saved from ourself. Saved from the power of sin. For by grace, what God does for us, have you been saved through faith. What is faith? It's simply knowing the mind of God and then being obedient and doing what he says. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It's interesting that we're about to celebrate Jesus' birthday, and we're the ones that get the gift. We're the ones that get the gift. He is the gift. He's the gift that keeps on giving. He is the reason for the season. Grace is the desire and the power to do God's will. We'd have no desire or power unless God gave it to us. You see, we've been saved from three things: sins. And most people say, why did Jesus come? And a lot of people have been in church all their lives say, he came to save us from our sins. Yeah, he did. But he came to do a lot more than that. What can wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Right? What about sin? Sin is still a power. It's like gravity. It pulls on us 24/7. All the time. We were saved from sin when our old man, our old Adamic nature that got separated from God and still trying to live, the old man is simply sense and reason apart from the Holy Spirit. It's living our lives as we think we ought to live it, not as God ordained for us to live. And so our old man died so that we'd be free from the power of sin. And thirdly, he saved us from ourselves. You see, our self is probably our biggest problem. Pogo said we have met the enemy, and he is us. We're usually our own worst enemy. We make poor decisions based on what we want rather than giving a thought to what God really wants for us. So by grace, what God does for us, are we saved from sins, and ourselves? And by faith, we wouldn't even have faith if God hadn't given us a measure of faith. Romans 12:3 says, for the grace given to me, Paul said, I say to every one of you, do not think more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. We talked the other day in Journeyman about how much faith do you need? If you've got faith the size of a mustard seed, which is like a speck of dust, you can move a mountain with that. It is not how much faith you have. It is reliability in the object upon which you're placing your faith. You know, if we had a frozen pond out there, and, you know, Mark was talking about Michigan. We went to Michigan, you know, several years ago, and it was early January, December, January, somewhere around in there. And when we went across this bridge, there was a river out there, and it was flowing. And we came, stayed a couple of weeks. When we came back, that river was solid, and there was a truck parked out on the river. Which is absolutely stupid for South Carolina. We don't park our trucks on rivers. in South Carolina, you know. But that was big enough to hold a truck. Now, you can stand on the side with a truck sitting out there, and you say, do you think that river, the ice, is thick enough to hold you up? And it's got a truck sitting out there. And you say, I don't know. And you could be scared to death. But that ice will still hold you up if you've got enough faith to put your feet out there and walk on it. Now, if that ice is that thick, you can say, oh, absolutely, it'll hold me up. And you can walk out there. You're going to sink like a rock. I don't care how much faith you've got. Faith is all about the reliability of what you're placing your faith in. That's why you only need a mustard seed. You know, I had one guy one time, I really wanted to, I know I'll probably say this when I run for office, I could have punched him in the nose. They'll probably put that on Twitter and, you know, they'll do stuff to me. But this was a guy who grew up and never went to church. He became a pastor, and my best friend finally had a daughter that they'd wanted forever. And she died of a rare disease at 22 months. And he told her that if she had had enough faith, that baby would still be alive. And I wanted to hit him in the nose. Because it made her think that her faith was deficient. It had nothing to do with faith. I talked to a guy one time who said, I'm going to will myself to walk out of this hospital. I am going to will myself to walk out of this hospital. And 3 days later, he died. You can have all the faith you want, but if it's not based on a reliable object upon which you're placing your faith, you can, as you say up in New York, forget about it. You know, it ain't going to happen. So it's based on faith, and even the faith we have, God's given us. And this is not from ourselves. Romans 12:3 says, I am speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace. And grace is what God what? Does for us. It is important that you do not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it to you. And the only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. It's not by works. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, but whatever I am now, it is because God poured out his special favor, grace, upon me, and not without results. For I have worked, Paul said, harder than any of the other apostles, yet it was not I, but God, who was working through me by his grace. You see, Jesus works in us, through us, for us, with us, and as us. It is Jesus. Pure and simple. Nothing else. You see, when Jesus was here, the Father worked through Jesus. Jesus in John 14, verse 9. Jesus said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Philip, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words that I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing the work. You see, Jesus simply let the Father sit on the stool of his heart. Jesus always did what his Father wanted him to do. Jesus just went out and lived. And when Jesus did it, who did the people think were doing it? When Jesus did stuff, when he did miracles and when he healed people, who did they think, when they were looking at him, who did they think was doing it? Jesus. But Jesus said, it wasn't me. It's not me, it's who? The Father is doing it in me, through me, for me, as me. But they thought it was Jesus. Are you with me? Jesus living you? Have you opened your heart up? Has Jesus become your life? And when you died on the cross, we were in Christ. And when Jesus died on the cross, we died with him. Our old man died with him. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. This is the question I get all the time. Kenny, you talk about Jesus living in us, for us, through us, with us, and as us. What does that look like? You know what we're asking? I need a formula. If I do this and this, if I do this, is Jesus living through me? And if I don't do this, is Jesus not living through me? And we got analysis paralysis. I'm a human being. What does that look like? I never think about it. Do you think about being a human being? Well, human beings breathe. So, okay, let me think. Okay. I got to breathe or I'll die. Okay. Okay. My heart's beating. I got to make sure it's beating. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And human beings have got to eat. We have to eat, don't we? Yeah, we have to eat. So let me. Am I eating enough? Am I eating too much? Wonder if we went around with analysis paralysis about being a human. We'd never get anything done. If you get up and Jesus is your life and you get up in the morning and you say, Jesus, here is the stool of my life. And he says, are you sure? Yes, sir, I'm sure. He said, let's go. I'll tell you on the way. And you just go live. The simplicity of that confounds people. And here's what I'm convinced of that I hadn't talked a whole lot about. This is the reason the title of the sermon today is Dead and Alive. Jesus wants us dead and alive. You need to understand that before we had Jesus come in our life, we were dead. What? Dead to what? Sin. Dead in sins, right? When Jesus died on the cross, because we were in Christ before the foundation of the world. If we were in Christ before the foundation of the world, when Jesus lived a perfect life, did we get credit for living a perfect life? Because he was in us and he was our life? So we got credit when he said, be perfect as I am perfect. Did you live a perfect life? Some of you may think you have, but you're just a little short. So when he lived a perfect life, we got credit for it. When Jesus died on the cross, where were we? We were in Christ. So when he died, what? We died. It says that Jesus died to sin once and for all. Because we were in Jesus and he was our life, we died to sin once and for all. And since he died once and for all, he will no longer ever die again. What does that mean for us? We will never die again either. I think one thing, you know, while I was working on this and thinking about it for a month, God says, you tell them that I'm their life all the time. That's true. He said, I think their problem is they forget that they're dead. We keep thinking we're still alive, and what we're trying to do is make our old man who's dead act like me. We try to keep putting a bow tie on a hog and making him look good. It's not going to work. It just ain't going to work. That's why God got rid of the old man. He was incorrigible. He could not be fixed. So I'm going to get rid of him. I'm going to give you a brand spanking new life. A new creation where the old things have passed away like your old man and all things have become brand new. And all you have to do is just get up in the morning and say, okay, Lord, I'm yours today. And you just go live. You see, let me ask you this. Let's take a look at Romans 6. What shall we say then to all I've just told you? Since we're dead to sin, shall we continue in sin so that grace might abound? Certainly not. How shall we, meganoito, how should we who have died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us was baptized into Jesus Christ? That word baptized means immersed into Jesus. We're baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of Jesus' death, certainly we shall always be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man, my old Adamic nature that got separated from God in the garden, was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer serve sin. and be the slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, here's what I get a lot of. Well, I still sin. Let me ask you this. When Jesus died on the cross and you received him, and I believe every person was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him in his sight. But that only becomes effectual based on Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How does that become effectual? John 1, 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, that word believe is not mental assent. It's not believing just something for the sake of believing it. That word in biblical sense is cling to, trust in, rely upon, put your whole weight upon. When you do that, then being in Christ, everything he did becomes effectual for you. You are saved by grace through what? Faith. This is what God says. When you believe that and you cling to it and you say, sink or swim, live or die, I'm going to trust you, just like the little girl falling back. When you do that, when you fall back and trust Jesus, and you say, I'm going to tell you the difference. The little video was interesting. I believe her falling back was salvation. A lot of people have enough faith to fall back and let him save them. And he said, okay, turn around now. I want you to fall backwards. That means I want you to let me be your life. Really your life. Well, Lord, there ain't nothing back there. You mean I'm going to go out there and live like you and I can't do that? No, you can't. You are absolutely right. You can't, but I can. All you got to do is fall back, trust in, rely upon, put your whole weight upon, and you'll find out he's there. Just like Indiana Jones when he came out of that wall in the Last Crusade movie. When he toe-tapped, there was no bridge there. But when he put his whole weight on the bridge was there. Here's the reason. People say, I don't know what that looks like. The reason you don't know what it looks like is you're not willing to fall. You're not willing to surrender your soul absolutely, totally, 100%. If you do that, Jesus will take over. If in the meantime, the first little thing that comes and stirs your soul a little bit, you're going to jump, you're going to kick him off the stool and get back on the stool. But it's okay. God understands it is a process. It is a process. And there are times that I let him sit on the stool for a good while. You know, maybe 3 or 4 minutes. Some days 5, if it's a good day. But here's what I'm learning. I know the very minute now when I kick him off the stool. And I'll just have to say, Lord, I did it again. I'm sorry, get back on. And you keep on doing that. You know, it's just like Jackson learning to ride his bicycle. You know, his daddy would push him and you hold on to me, hold on to me, hold on to me. And he would ride as long as his daddy's holding on to him. Until one day his daddy let go of him and he rode halfway across the parking lot thinking his daddy was holding on to him. He was really riding himself. See, that's what God wants us to do. You'll live a half a day and you'll do some stuff and it will really be Jesus in you. What does he look like? What does he look like? If you turn Jesus loose in Lake Wylie, what would he look like? You think Jesus would be kind? Well, that's a hearty. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a hearty. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. All right. Did Jesus really love people? Our little thing is loving God by loving people. I don't care whether you're an introvert, extrovert. I don't care whether you're a sanguine, melancholy, choleric, or phlegmatic. I don't really care what your personality is. If Jesus is your life, he's going to come out as Jesus. You understand? He's going to come out as Jesus. And he's going to come out as Jesus through your personality because that's the personality that he gave you. But it's always going to be kind and encouraging and gentle and good and faithful and meek. It's going to come out of you that way. We talk about, you know, our country is so divided, and it's just everybody, they call it Black Friday for a reason. You know, I believe I'm not going to go as far as say it's of the devil, but it's pretty close. You know, people get killed in them things, you know, with black eyes and all that stuff. It is Black Friday. They ain't nobody happy on Black Friday. The joy of Christmas just ain't there on Black Friday. I've seen people just fight over a TV that they got the last one. And, you know, that ain't the way it ought to be. You say, how can we change the world? I can't change the world. I can only change my world. I can't change the whole world, but I can change mine. How do I do it? How's Jesus chosen to do that through me? I'll be honest with you, I took a month off because I lost sight of that. I got really tired. I got really busy. I really got burned out, and I forgot about that. To the extent that 3 weeks in my sabbatical, I didn't think I was going to come back. I just didn't think I was going to come back. And I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, well, just sit here and let me do it for you. And that meant to me that I needed to try harder. And he said, how long have you been preaching this stuff? It don't mean try harder. It means sit on your blessed assurance and rest. That's what I got you here for. And after 3, 4, 5 weeks, I started to see what he sees again. I started noticing the trees and the leaves, and I started noticing people. And I didn't think about, should I speak to this person because they look sad? I didn't have to even pray. If you just start seeing people and speak to them and smile at them, if you come up to that cashier as you're going through a store, and you just you know, you run into some really wild names. Some of them that I can't even pronounce, and if I get it right, it just, oh my goodness, they're saying, oh, you're the first one that's ever got it right. And you just say, Kamisha Lily, you know, or whatever the name is. I said, that is a really beautiful name. Where did you get that? Well, my mother is so-and-so. And I said, that is just a beautiful name. And you can just see a little smile come up. Just a little encouragement. And you say, you really did a good, really good job checking me out today. I really do appreciate it. You made my experience today here a pleasure. I just hope you have a good, great day today. And all you did was you just lift them up just a little bit. You know, you've heard it said that when the tide rises, all boats rise. When you encourage one person, when you start raising the water level, all the boats start to rise. And you start being kind to people. You start encouraging people. You start talking to them. You'd be surprised at people in restaurants. You start talking about, what did you do for Thanksgiving? And they'll tell you and whatever. And if you really want to turn Jesus loose, you say, you've really done a good job for us today. We really appreciate it. Is it anything that we could pray for you today? We'd love to pray for you. And 9 out of 10 of them will tell you something. And you just say a quick prayer and just say, thank you, God bless you. You just don't know how much that means to people. And there's going to be a ton of stuff on the Walmart floor as you go out. Pick it up and put it back in the bin so people don't step on it. Why? Because you're supposed to do unto others as what? You would have others do unto. If you owned Walmart, wouldn't you want somebody to pick up your toy and put it back on the shelf so nobody would ruin it? Of course you would. Well, how can we say, it's not my store? And you wear that T-shirt and say, do unto others before they do it to you. You know, so, you know. Listen, it is not rocket science what this looks like. It does not mean that everything's going to be pie in the sky and you're going to be absolutely happy. Because there's some things that really are not really good stuff that happens to us and we get sad. Jesus got sad. He wept at the tomb of Lazarus. When he was in the garden, he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. But the Father was still on the stool of his life. It doesn't mean that looking like Jesus is being happy. See, I was raised in a church where you were supposed to come with a Bible under your arm and a smile on your lips. I don't care if your mama died and you lost your job and your house burned down. You come with a Bible under your arm and a smile on your lips and go, Jesus is your life. That is bull feathers. We live in a world that's fallen where we have a soul. This soul has not been redeemed yet. Our spirit has been redeemed, but our soul is still working on it. And that's why don't get bent out of shape when your soul gets bent out of shape. Even Jesus' soul got bent out of shape. Just understand that the Bible says that the things that are seen are temporal. They're passing away. They won't last forever. But the things which are unseen are eternal. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Above the line up here, what Jesus did to your spirit is making you himself, him living in you. That's above the line. That's eternal. Everything else below the line is temporary. It's becoming. This is I am. This is I'm becoming what I am. We're in process down here. You need to understand that. And it's okay. It's okay. Our soul gets that way. What we need to do is tell our soul we are surrendering to what Jesus wants. The fact that you're struggling does not make you a bad Christian. Even the Apostle Paul struggled, didn't he? He said, what I want to do, I don't. What I don't want to do, I do. But it's not me that's doing it. It's the sin in me that's causing me to do it. I used to think he was arrogant to say, yeah, well, I beg your pardon. It is you, Paul. No. And he's absolutely right, because if Jesus is your life, the old you done it, is Jesus going to be sinning? No, he died unto sin once, but now he lives unto God just like we do. That's a one-time deal. That is not who we are. Occasionally our soul will take over and do some stuff we shouldn't, but hey, that's part of the becoming. Lord, I kicked you off, get back on. It is becoming. By one sacrifice, Hebrews 10:14 says, he is made perfect forever, those who are being made holy. Perfect forever up here, eternal, who we really are, our true identity in Jesus. Down here, we're becoming who we are. So what does it look like? It's getting up in the morning and say, Jesus, sit on the stove. You let me know when I nudge you off. And don't analyze it again. Just go live. He will let you know immediately when you move him off. Did you ask him to? If you ask him to, you think he will do it? Or he said, I thought you were joking, so I didn't. No, no, he will tell you. Trust him. And just go live. Just get up and go live. There's freedom in that. There's freedom in that. There's no trying harder, being a better Christian. There ain't no such thing as a better Christian. Jesus is either your life or he's not. It's pass fail. There ain't no D minuses or A pluses. You're either in him and alive or out of him and you're dead. That's why God wants you both alive and dead. He wants you dead in your old man and alive to him. It's not dead or alive. This is the reason you think you got two natures. You think you got Jesus and you're fussing. There ain't no two natures. You've always only had one nature. You had the old man that was dead into sin, or you've got Jesus as your life and this man's dead. There's never been two natures. This stuff about that dog, those two dogs fighting, and you're starving them. Who's going to win the fight? The one you feed the most? That is bull feathers. That is a lie out of the pit. There ain't no two dogs. There's only one dog. It's either this dead dog or this alive dog. One or the other. There's not two. You're either living as Jesus, for Jesus, as Jesus is living for you, through you, in you, and as you, or you're not living at all. It's just that simple. And that's all I'm going to say about that. This Christmas season, it's Jesus, others, you will keep the joy in your Christmas this year. Just love people. Just go out and love people. It don't matter whether you love them back, because Jesus has given you all you'll ever need plus some. And the reason they can't give you any back, they don't have none to give. How are they going to have any to give if you're running around acting like a sourpuss? It's time we started letting His light shine, that the world may see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Let's pray together. Papa, You're the absolute best. And You gave us the very best. And I don't know how in the world, since You gave us the best, how in the world could we ever think You're going to keep the rest? Lord, we just love You today. People want to know what it looks like for You to live in us. It just looks like You. And there's nothing we have to do. We get in Your way when we try to do. You just want us to get out of the way and let You live. Thank You for freeing us from all our sins. Thank You for taking our old man to the cross and burying him far away. And thank You, Lord, for living in us, through us, for us, and as us. And just as when You, Lord Jesus, did miracles, they thought it was You, but You said, no, it's the Father. And just like when we go out and live and we do things that You would do, people think it's us, but it's really not us. It's You doing it through us and for us. That's what it looks like. Lord, thank You for the gift. Thank You for the privilege of being Your children. If there's somebody here today that really they think they have, but they've just given mental assent to You, that's never really fallen back into Your arms and saying, I'm tired of living in my own energy. I'm ready for You to live in me, through me, for me, and as me, Lord. Today could be that day, that step of faith that bursts You into a whole new life that You only dreamed about. May that day be today for those of you who haven't. If you're struggling with something today, may you, we're here to encourage one another. If you just need prayer today, I'll be here. And Lord, we love You and we praise You. May this week we be reminded that how much You did love us and how much You do love us and care for us. And for that, we are eternally grateful. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand and sing as Mark leads us. I'll be down.